Good morning, Dominica. It is time. About that time, I would say good morning to you in Dominica, the region, and the rest of the world. If it's hot, they say it's on the hot seat. 95.1, 105.7, 97.5. I suspect it's going to be hot as usual. Big story taking place in the court this morning. From what I gather, some charges may be red. Charges of murder. Will tell you who. And why. Remember, I read a very interesting letter on the block yesterday. You may get a surprise this morning. I will get the latest as it relates to the investigations. Remember, quote-unquote, a pyro died on Sunday? We'll give you the latest information. Re-police investigations. So, sit tight. This is Dominica's most talked about talk show. You either hate to love it, love to hate it. They just love to love it. Matt in the morning, Dominica, good morning. On all various frequencies, internet, and tuningradio.com. I know you're waiting for the big stars. But before we get into the big stars this morning, I want to do something big. I want you to reach out this morning.
Where misery, sorrow, and pain.
And you'll be touching somebody's life.
Do you see the things that I see?
And to tell us just what is going on, we have Mrs. Delia Coffee Wicks in the house. Good morning, Dillian. When this lady makes an appeal, you just have to answer, you know? She really reaches out and touches you. Good morning.
Good morning, Matt, and good morning to all the wonderful people listening to Q95 at this time.
Yes, a lot. Thousands are listening, and I know that they will respond to your calls, to your appeal this morning. Tell us what you're here for.
Well, Matt, something happened on the 12th of March that somehow has not made the news. In my memory, I can just remember just about four sets of triplets being born in Dominica.
Four sets of triplets?
Yes, that I can remember.
In your memory?
In my memory. There may be more, I can be corrected. But a set of triplets were born on the 12th of March. Three little boys. They were born premature. Their mother has an 18-month baby girl. So that means that she now has four babies to take care of. And the babies came, she was told that she was expecting twins. They came prematurely, she's not prepared for twins, and now she has three. And she really needs help. The place that they live, the conditions are deplorable. She found herself in a bit of difficulty in that the children's father wasn't so well just before that. So she actually sold some of the furnishings that they had in their house to help him with his medical expenses. And this is where they're at now. So I am just reaching out to all the people listening to this program, asking for help for this young couple. They need everything. Whatever little bit you can provide will be appreciated. The mother needs stuff. The little girl, the 18-month-old baby, needs stuff. The babies need stuff. Now they're at the hospital. They will eventually leave. And these people are destitute.
Anything.
Anything. Anything. I spoke to the mother yesterday. And I was trying to find from her, if you were to make a list in order of priority, what is most crucial? And she said to me, ma'am, I cannot ask people for anything. Whatever they decide to give me, I will accept.
You know, somebody was even saying to me, because I heard about it, a whisper, that, I mean, she still have that, even in her situation, there's still a level of pride there.
Yes, of course, of course. And you know what touched me, Matt, is multiple births are something that somehow touch you. It is not often that you have three babies being born to one person at a time. And this one, it just went like under the radar. So I haven't heard any news agency pick it up. I haven't heard the corporate community coming forward and donating anything to the babies. So I am just trying to sensitize people, because maybe we don't know. And so I'm just bringing it out to the public. And I want to say that if people feel like making contributions in cash or kind, they can deposit their contributions at the office of Child Fund Caribbean, that's upstairs Lee Unit opposite Prevost Cinema, or at Dominica Planned Parenthood office. These two institutions are prepared to accept contributions on behalf of that family, and they will make sure that they get it to them.
If somebody wants to contact you directly, can they?
Yes, of course they can. My number is 276-1573. I put up a notice on Facebook last night, and Dominicans in the diaspora have been contacting me as well. So people can also message me on Facebook. My name is Delia Coffee Weeks. No big mystery about that. Send me a message. I will respond. And remember, every little bit counts.
All right. And if you can reach us, reach out to us this morning for less 5 or 10 minutes, we would, of course, accept your contribution as well. This lady needs your help. A lady at the hospital at this time just delivered triplets, we've been told. You know, reach out. Do something, you know. Do something out of kindness, out of love this morning. When we come back, of course, we'll be talking to big stories. But if you can reach out this morning for less 5 minutes, I mean, Delia, Mrs. Weeks just gave you some contact on Facebook. You can also reach out to her as well. If you feel that there's a need to contact me, if you feel you can, you know, speak to me more directly, please feel free to give me a call, and I will, of course, make sure that Delia gets the messages. And whatever you feel you can contribute of your, out of the kindness of your heart this morning, okay? Just as Michelle or Mikhail says this morning, just help somebody, please. Help and reach out. There are many of you who may have had babies in the past few months, past few weeks. Maybe you have a little excess. Just pass it on. Thank you. I know.
Do you see the things that I see?
Hello, talk to me here.
Hi, good morning. How are you this morning?
How are you doing? How are you doing?
Okay, my name is Richard Walsh. I would like to pay the $100 to a
caller. Richard what?
Regina Walsh.
All right, okay, thank you.
I'd like to pledge $100 towards that cause.
Thank you, Regina, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I will just come in and drop it to the transparency office this morning.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
There are those who are weak and need strength for the things they must bear.
Hello, talk to me here.
Morning to you, Matt. Morning to Mistress Weeks.
Yeah, she's actually stepped out. She's a busy lady, yes.
For a worthy cause, I am pledging $50.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome.
This lady is not necessarily looking for monies. I mean, monies would help, but anything that you can and can give. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Matt, I'll pledge $100 easy. So the cause, I will get it through you or Olivia Weeks.
No problem. Thank you. Bye-bye. Especially those of you maybe in North America that have access to a few things for babies. Give us a call, huh? Provide some assistance, I will contact Mrs. Weeks. A message on my WhatsApp there from the management of Guiav. Somebody on the telephone? No, I'm sorry. You better call me back. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, the big stories of the day.
Hello? A Better You Detox Plus Center. Good day. How can I help you?
Hello. My mother would like to know more about your free biofeedback month.
Yes, it's a free biofeedback month at a Better You Detox Plus Center from the 1st to the 31st of March. Take advantage of our special discounted prices on food detox and infrared saunas at only $50. Or a full body relaxation massage for only $100. And leave with a free biofeedback report. Call 276-8982 or 617-7505. Or visit us at Madra Lubia at the Voice of Life Radio Grounds. Be healthy and experience life.
Easter, a time for reflection, sacrifice, and giving. And Burton & Company is considering the needy by collecting non-perishable food items for our Easter food drive. We match what you give, and you get dollars off next purchase coupons. Benefiting charities, Grotto Home, and Operation Youthquake. Please drop items to the Electric Shop, corner Independence Street and Kennedy Avenue, anytime now to Saturday, 4th April. And shoppers, participate in our Easter Egg Hunt, March 23rd to April 4th for prizes, discounts, or something fun. Who knows? You may just be extra lucky. Let's be thoughtful and generous this Easter. Happy Easter from all of us at Burton & Company.
The Electric Shop.
Selma's Home Care is donating some Pampers this morning. Thank you, Selma. Thank you. The big stories. Carlisle John Baptist is standing by. Hello, Carlisle.
Hi, Matt. Morning to you.
How you doing?
Well, I'm there holding the fort, Matt. I'm doing one of my bits and pieces, giving God thanks and glory.
That's what you have to do on a day-to-day basis.
Yes, indeed. The football action, Matt, is intensifying in Dominica. The referees are on island for this big World Cup qualifier, 7 o'clock tomorrow evening at the Windsor Park Sports Stadium. Dominica versus the BVI should be a very, very interesting tussle. The match referees are on island, the referees assessor, the match commissioner, they are all on island, and Dominica is training hard. Last night I saw the BVI team in training at the Windsor Park Sports Stadium, and of course, every system seems go all set for this big, epic football world qualifier. Dominica versus the BVI on Thursday, tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock, and of course, on Sunday, the return leg. Dominica versus BVI. The first one is BVI versus Dominica. BVI is regarded as the home team. So both matches are going to be played in Dominica. Man, we are asking all Dominicans to go out and support the Dominica team, hold their flag, hold their rags, and scream for the Dominica team, because we want Dominica to be victorious in this very, very interesting game.
Carlisle Baptist, as you talk sports, a source just indicated to me that a 20-man squad has been called for the West Indies. Tyrone has not made that list.
Well, Matt, I did not expect Tyrone to be on the squad. I did not expect also Shane Shillingford to be on that squad. I did indicate, and respectfully, I have said that, and people may take me to task for that. The fact of the matter is, I don't expect to see, or probably is here, Shane Shillingford on that West Indies team again, Matt. I'm being frank and honest about it. And I'll tell you why, Matt. I get the feeling that because he can no longer bowl it. So Shane is not as effective as he used to be. And as such, I not seeing them, I'm selecting him. He does collect wickets, but at much more expensive rate. He's not economical as he used to be when he had his Dusra, that maiden arsenal in his armory. He no longer has that delivery. And so Shane, you know, has been left out. If I am one to give a good, sound advice to Shane while he's playing his cricket, I would pursue a career in umpiring. If I win Shane's place, do like the Australian guy, and that is Paul Rifle, who played test cricket and who is now an elite cricket umpire, umpiring all over the world. Shane would be, in my mind, an excellent cricket umpire.
So there's no light in the tunnel, you think, for Shane, based on your own assessment?
Excuse me, Matt, repeat that question.
I say there's no light in the tunnel for Shane based on your assessment.
No, not at all, Matt, because what, and if you would have heard the squad, they've called in Davendra Bishu, who was out in the twilight or out for a while. They've brought in Solomon Ben. They've called in a number of other spinners, but there's no Shane Shillingford. And I mean, when you, from the time you see that, it tells you something. So I my advice to the man, he can become in quick time, Matt. Shane can continue to make the money he's been making. In quick time, he gets qualified because that is what they're looking for. They're looking for people who has played test cricket, first class cricket, to become umpires, and they push you quickly. So Shane, within, if he takes up umpiring, Matt, within 2 years, Shane can become a top umpire in the region, in the West Indies, in the world. I am telling you that much. And that, to me, to my mind, that is where I would concentrate myself if I were in his place, play my little cricket, but then quickly get myself qualified and get into umpiring. That is my humble advice to him. No discrimination. Some will disagree, but I know, Matt, a lot of people will agree with me on that.
All right, Kalai, let's turn our eyes and our ears to the courts in Dominica, the Civil Division of the High Court, on March 25th today, in the matter of five police officers who are facing charges in connection with the death of a Portsmouth man. Khalil, what more can you tell us? Will the charges, from what you gather, be read today?
But I like to keep people in a little more suspense, so just before I tell you that, I want to send out sympathies to some people in the cottage area, that is the Azil Casey family, on the death of their father, Papa. He was not able to make it, man. He was batting, and he fell short on 99 runs, 10 months.
Wow.
99 years. Sorry, Matt, 10 months. So he would have been 100 years in May or thereabouts, but he got run out just after 4 this morning, trying to take a cheeky single. So I want to say sympathies to the family on the passing of this gentleman at the age of 99 years, 10 months. Death comes in, you know, when death comes, Matt, it's the hardest thing to swallow, but we know death is inevitable. So sad, but that is how it is, Matt.
That is a debt we all have to pay.
Definitely. And so let's get to the court, Matt. Yes, what I can confirm to you that I expect the charges to be read today. The judge did indicate that the matter as it relates to those gentlemen in January, she did indicate that she will not be having any more delays in the matter. I can confirm to you that yesterday, late yesterday afternoon, sometime yesterday, the lawyers for the police officers filed a notice of discontinuance, meaning that they filed a notice of discontinuing the matter in the civil court. So it now means that the way is open for, by this morning when they go to court, we expect them to be rearrested, and as the matter is in court, we expect by today, sometime today, that the charge of murder will be formally read to the police officers.
That's after many months and dragging the color.
That is correct, Matt. And the people who are talking about breaking news, that is the big news. So after many, many months or so, I have already stated what is expected to happen in the court today. I will repeat again, the lawyers for the police officers filed notices of discontinuance, meaning that they have discontinued their civil proceedings. And that, when you look at it, as far as I'm concerned, that was a frivolous matter in terms of the charge, in terms of the civil matter that was filed. That was a delaying tactic. I don't know, because if you lawyers, at the end of the day, when they looked at the matter, Matt, the charge of murder would have been read. The guys would have been remanded. maybe by now, and I say maybe by now, those guys probably would have, and I say maybe would have gotten bail. But see what has happened after that long delay. Now they're going to be in custody. I mean, it was a losing battle. They've paid hundreds of dollars, maybe thousands of dollars, because that matter was a big matter. They've paid huge fees to lawyers, and I think that fees, the amount of money that they paid, they should have kept that money for their defense when that matter come up in the criminal assize.
But Kala John Baptist, the officers, PCs, Oland, Vigil, Delvin Challenger, Martin Seaman, and WPC, Joma Lewis, and Sergeant Hayden Morgan, which arrested and charged for the murder of Joshua Etienne, who was found dead in the Portsmouth South sometime on July 4th, 2014. But a lot of talk about maybe not all will be read the charge of murder. Do you get any impression?
I have that too, but I will not let that out of the bag, Matt. My information is that at least two of the police officers, at least two, so I think there are five of them, three of them I think will be for murder and two.
On a lesser charge.
Yes, on a lesser charge. I have that. That is the information that I also have, Matt. I know. Sometime yesterday, the office of the DPP, they were, you know, discussing the matter and not that I have spoken to the DPP. No, I have not spoken to the DPP. But of course, I always have my ears and different places, and I get different vibes as to what is happening in the country. So I know there was some sort of discussion as to how they are going to deal with the matter during the course of today. They were late yesterday. The arresting officer, who is Mr. Coffey, I think he's acting superintendent, probably reverted back to inspector, very, very efficient guy. I understood they were meeting with the DPP and discussing the matter. But Matt, I want to also place on record kudos to the office of the Director of Public Prosecutions and some of the state attorneys in the AG's chambers, Tamika Hyacinth and Shima Dairampel, and not all those who were involved in that matter from the level of the DPP's office, Matt. I think, Matt, they've done a tremendous job. They've done a lot of hard work. They've researched the matter, and they were on point all along, Matt. These are young, I mean, not big-time attorneys, if you want to put it that way, some people, but they are attorneys who are very, very diligent in the office of the DPP and also in the chambers of the Attorney General. And Shima Dairampel and Ms. Tamika Hyacinth, Matt, they've worked very, very hard on that matter.
Kalaita Baptist, as you talk about the young attorneys, I would like to know what has happened to Mr. Lawrence. We've been told that there has been the departure of the senior officer of the court, Mr. Lennox Lawrence. What has happened? Why he decided? Do you know why he decided to leave this matter alone?
Matt, I don't know, and I don't.
The departure of Lennox Lawrence?
I don't know, and I don't want to. I'm not interested. All I know is that I'm filed documents stating that he no longer is interested in the matter, and he has been relieved of that. I don't know.
And you do not want to speculate?
And I'm not going to speculate, Matt. I am not going to go down that road.
Kala John Baptist, thank you very much. We'll be watching other big, big, big stories as we move along during the course of the day. So maybe you can give us an update if you go to court sometime this morning. Let us know just what is going on.
Definitely, Matt. I will be on top of the action as it unfolds today.
Thank you very much. This is Q95. Other news, big stories. We're being told that police they're questioning one young man in relation to the death of a quote-unquote vagrant paro. A lot of questions, a lot of issues raised yesterday. We have with us on the line Police Public Relations Officer, ASP, Claude Wicks. Good morning, sir.
Hi, good morning, Matt. Very good morning to you, and how do you do?
I'm doing pretty fine, sir.
Yeah, and good morning to your listeners as well.
Yes. Mr. Claude Wicks, can you bring us up to date, read the incident involving, quote-unquote, the vagrant, the paro who died on Sunday?
Yes, well, the latest on it, you know, Matt, is that we have a suspect, or we have someone assisting us in our investigations. And just to rewind a bit, especially for those who might not be au fait, but the gentleman's name, that's Davidson Daisy, he was 46 years, and I'm referring to the deceased, Davidson Daisy, 46 years. He was commonly known as Daisy, and he was a chap washing vehicles, you know, he was from Silver Lake washing vehicles, and leave or take a little rest close to, that's the Riverside apartment, that's in a little or dilapidated building close to the Seventh-day Adventist church there, and that's where he used to kind of cool out, you know, in that old building when he came by this grotesque or dastardly act.
So you're confident moving forward at this time? Because a lot of people were speculating and making comments yesterday, you know, the police know who did this and they're not making any move. How do you respond to comments like this?
Yes, well, obviously, you expect in a free society, Matt, you expect a lot of speculations, but let me just hit us right off the bat. If your program is for education, I just want to let us know that the court doesn't deal with speculation. And while we may say what we want or how we feel we should say it, let us really get to the substantial issues. The substantial issue is that we have a deceased, and that, as I said, it's really a grotesque act. Nobody should do this gentleman that. Whoever it is, nobody should do that to him. Now, given the speculation, as I said, we are not operating on speculation, but we have to operate on facts. We have to operate on evidence. And that is what investigations are all about, is to go and get everything, whether primary, documentary, forensic, or whatever it is that you can get, because it is the duty of the prosecution to prove its case beyond a reasonable doubt. You cannot go frivolously before a magistrate or a judge and say, well, they say that in the public and that, and police know who, or that person know who, and so on. So here it is. We have a gentleman. Of course, obviously, you don't expect me to, you know, say all of what we are doing with respect to the investigations. That, indeed, would be breaching the protocol. But let me just allay the fears of the public, and especially those who like to speculate. If we don't have the hard facts, if we don't understand the issues generally, my humble advice, and I say so with respect, don't seek to create fear in the citizenry, or at the same time to tarnish the image of the police organization. We know there's a lot of improvement. You understand that. So at the end of the day, when they say that, oh, police know, I should also say, and I said on another newscast this morning, that if we know a lot of things as well, because not that incident allegedly place at 9 o'clock, and that's big day, we surmise, we can believe, you sitting behind the microphones, and I and anybody else in Dominica, perhaps somebody may have seen, or a group of persons may have seen, and know that this kind of thing has happened to this gentleman. Have they come forward and say, well, excuse me, X, Y, and Z? And I know somebody is going to say, oh, the issue of confidentiality, and police saying that. While people are saying that, there are people who truly say nothing, even if they see anything. So it makes it a bit difficult. And I will conclude that portion, Matt, by saying the police is public and the public is police. And that should never happen to this gentleman, neither anybody, whether it is apparel or not.
You're not going to discriminate, Mr. Wicks, because you know that person is apparel.
But of course, we should never. The police department, that is not the reflection of the police force, even speculation. And what people generally say, oh, because it's apparel, they just they're light-headed about it, they're not bothered about it. If a police force is light-headed, or if a police force decides, well, because it's apparel and they're not doing anything, I would prefer I, Claude Wicks, as a senior police officer, not to be part of that organization, if that is so. And I can tell you that is not so. It is indeed not so. Remember the gentleman, he was burnt very badly, of course, prior to his death, Matt. We know, all of us know, I mean, when I say all of us, the general public, that he was at the ICU for an extended period of time. Then moved to the Alford Ward. Interviews were done even by Felix Henderson. I understood you played the clip I did.
Yes, I did yesterday, yes.
You know, and very, very emotional. You could have felt for this gentleman. Matt. And we did the preliminary investigations. We picked up someone. The person was released. We continued asking questions. One or two little pieces of, info start coming here and there. Obviously, he has died. The intensity of the investigations must go on. And I can lay the fears of the public. We have an assistant superintendent doing that investigation. In fact, an award-winning investigator. I'm not saying that by virtue of the fact that we may always get desired results, but that just tells you how much interest, how much intensity that we're putting in investigation. So it's not true to say that, oh, because it's apparel. And we should never discriminate, Matt, whether it's apparel, whether it's the highest person in the land, or whether it's a person in the center part of the society. We must do our work professionally at all times and ensure that we can build the confidence of the public as well.
All right, Mr. Wicks, I want to say thank you so much for getting to that stage of the investigation. But before I ask you the next question, though, let me just remind the listeners out there of the kind of suffrage, the kind of suffering that this man went through. Felix Henderson, we played this yesterday, and I'm going to play it again to just kind of remind you just, how much this guy went through before he died on Sunday.
You see, that's what he felt. You can't suffer. Tout le corps qui a fait mal. Tout le corps brûlé. On passe à parler. Oh my goodness, ça c'est souffrance. Tout le corps, tout le pied, tout. Ooh.
So you can understand, Mr. Wicks, you know, why the public would be so anxious to get this matter resolved the soonest.
Of course, Matt. Well, as I told you, I was interviewed on DBS Radio on the Patwa program. And of course, the kind of injuries that this gentleman got, and whereby he could not effectively communicate to the medical authorities as well, to as investigators, Felix Henderson could hardly, get anything good. But what we've just heard, why would somebody, what is the motive? What is really truly, Matt, the motive, whether the man is a para or not, for anyone to have done this to him? And that's the human being. But let me just make the point, and I hope we all understand that as Dominicans. Many of us, given what you have just played and what we've been saying over the past few weeks with regard to this gentleman who has died, many of us have said a lot of negative things about the paru in Dominica. Some of us have said, oh, just take them and put them in a container. Some of us have said, just take them and put all of them in the cells. Some of them, the kinds of languages as well that we have spewed against the parus. Now, don't take me wrong. The paro, some of them with their psychotic problems and other different, a myriad of problems. Some of them, indeed, when they commit the crimes, like everybody else, must go through the system, the due process. Some of them will be sent to the ATU for evaluation and then returned to the court with regard to whether they are fit to plea or not, and if not, whether they are incarcerated or so. And they have to go through the process. So even if, for example, yes, I heard a commentator mention about the tourism industry and all of this, that is a fact. We have to look forward to means and ways and different prescriptions to seek to managing and controlling the situation instead of, you know, going unleashing blows or seeking to kill them. They are part of us in Dominica. You can run from it from time immemorial. There will be beggars. There will be all kinds of people. Indeed, they have to be managed, but not be killed, not be done the kind of grotesque and dastardly crimes against them and think, well, okay, because they are paro, they don't have a say or they must be discriminated. I think we must treat each and everyone with respect, and our constitution dictates that.
All right, Cor. Mr. Wicks, thank you. Thank you so much. I know a few minutes ago that we heard from Delia Wicks, coincidentally, Mrs. Wicks, the wife of ASB Wicks, was on this morning making an appeal for you guys to reach out and touch, you know, a couple who just had a set of triplets at the hospital. I'm being told that they... the father's right here with me, with somebody who could speak to his issues. And I really want to make the appeal again this morning to go out and touch that couple this morning. Help them. A lot of people have been sending WhatsApp messages, you know, trying to help these people who seem to be in a desperate need for help this morning. What's your name, sir? What's your name? Oh, I suspect... We're speaking to the father and not the gentleman who has come in with him this morning. Opalekwiol? Yeah?
Who is Opalekwiol?
Sakifel.
I have a madam who has two appetite. I have a little bit of a Je dis que je suis un bel cas pour ces enfants. Je n'ai pas l'argent pour payer. Et puis, je suis cher. Je suis un petit peu plus petit que je suis. Oui. C'est comme ça.
So he's actually, I think, looking for some assistance in getting a house, maybe to rent. That's much cheaper than where he is right now. He's a struggling father and is looking out, looking for the assistance from the public. From what you gather there, it's clear that this gentleman is a Haitian national and really looking for the public to, of course, give the kind of help that they can give. You can bring whatever you can to the Child Fund, we've been told. The Planned Parenthood Association, you can bring assistance here. Some people have pledged Pampers, some people are pledging monies, and I'm just hoping again that you reach out and touch this couple, this Haitian couple, just had a set of triplets at the hospital, born on the 12th of March, and we're hoping that you can reach out and touch. They need the help for the three children that his wife has just delivered in this world. I can feel his pain. You're expecting one, it's a problem. You get two, maybe you can manage. No, three kids, and you're not working. I know you feel. I know you feel.
Mwen gen yon ki premye, mwen gen yon l'anè de mwa. L'anè de mwa, mwen sa ve di yo di, sa re te gale a 4 enfants, sa ve di sa difisil.
So, you know, just in translation, he says he has a baby, you know, only about 12 months, 14 months old, and now another 3. So he has 4. Really, you know, reaching out to you out there to help and give the assistance that you can. Well, merci. Mm-hmm. Okay, par level.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay.
Another big story coming up. Stick around. We have just about 15 minutes.
Alert, we are in the flu season. Seasonal flu spreads easily. Practice good hygiene. If you're having symptoms like fever, cough, runny or stuffy nose, sore throat, body aches and headaches, chills and fatigue, you should observe the following. Avoid being in crowded places and in close contact with others. Use clean tissue to cover your nose and mouth when coughing or sneezing. Place used tissue in a garbage bin after single use. Wash your hands with soap and water and or use hand sanitizer often. If the symptoms worsen, seek medical attention. Remember, your health is your responsibility.
A message from the Ministry of Health and this station.
Belfast Estate Limited. Enjoy it, but don't abuse it.
All right, Dominica. Yesterday, you heard me read a letter on Talk on the Block. And everybody have been asking questions about this. I'm going to share it with you again. Again, given the technicalities, if you will, legal technicalities, I'm not sure if I could, read out the name of the pastor in that letter. But there's the other side of the story that I'll share with you this morning. As a matter of fact, I have the wheel, and I'll read that for you this morning, and you will make your own determination. A lot of people are sitting by the radio waiting. I really want to hear what's in that wheel. I really want to hear what's in that letter. I'm going to read the letter first, and I'll read the wheel. Matt, it's 8:45. We're going to take a quick break and then we will come back. Okay, thank you. I'll still keep you in suspense, okay? I will keep you in suspense. All I'll tell you is I have a pastor in the house, and I'll allow him to make a few comments, and then we will get to the will. Maybe you'll hear a lot more on Talk on the Block, but let's see. Okay. Matt Peltier, the hot seat, Q95, Dominica. Dear Matt, greetings to you. I write with deep pain, hurt, and sorrow, and I hope you will touch on this. And I don't know why they think I won't. First of all, let me ask, who do you consider to be a man of God? And what are the qualities of a man of God? Oftentimes we say it's the message that matters and not the messenger. But in this case, I think the messenger is just as bad as a message he preaches, as he is not an example. Before I get to my point, Matt, I think that too many times men, pastors, priests, claim to be men of God and they do not practice what they preach. I stress on pastors and priests, as many times those of other religious denominations bash and trash our Catholic priests, and they are not better. I listen and hear the pastor on your radio, a man I once had great admiration, but as of now, I have lost all respect for this man. After a wife worked so hard for 30 years, tireless and sleepless days and nights, traveling to Guadeloupe selling produce just to create a better life for her family, today her husband is dead, and that pastor wants to put her out of her house, claiming that the husband left the property for him. Why would somebody's husband will property and everything else to that pastor? I really wonder. Oops, I smell something fishy. I want to ask the pastor where he was when the wife worked hand in hand with her husband. For 30 years, this lady toiled and toiled with her husband, and today she can't enjoy what she worked for because of the pastor who wants to put her out. Where is the man of God? Where is what the pastor preaches? Man of God cannot be ruthless and heartless. Man of God would not put his brother or sister on the road. Man of God would not go about saying all sorts of bad things about the man's wife. The pastor needs to reflect on his actions, and he has a conscience, and he will let it go. He will be the man of God that he says that he is. The pastor is tormenting this lady's life, and he needs to stop it. The God this lady serves is not a pastor, and God will see her through, and she will overcome and be the victor in the end. Do good, pastor, and God will follow you. When you do bad, it shall also follow you. Treat this lady with respect, and I'm sure that's how you would want to be treated. Matt, I hope you will expose him like you do to everyone else, or like you do everyone else. Shame on you. Hurt. This is the letter. A pastor is visiting me this morning. Pastor, you've heard the letter. Your voice is distinct, so I don't think I have to give any introductions this morning. Good morning.
Matt Peltier, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Good. I'm glad that you're doing well, and I'm glad that you're protecting and preserving yourself by reading this letter very carefully, Matt. I, as you know, I have always stood up in defense of pastors and the gospel. In fact, you will recall some time ago, I stood up in defense of the matter of the Granby congregation versus the bishop in the matter of the priest. I'm sure you remember that, Matt.
I remember that.
So I always do that. And I do that because the Bible tells me I must contend for the faith. I do not know who that letter is addressed concerning, Matt, and somehow I wished that you would have made that public, although I know that if you would have read that, then you'd become legally culpable. But I tell you something, whenever that information is given by you or by anybody else in the media, I will encourage the pastor to take full legal redress as far as that's concerned. I'll tell you why. Now, I listened to you yesterday on, how you call the program at midday?
Talk on the Block.
Talk on the Block with a certain gentleman called Brain. And I have to come down and give you some pressure and Brain some pressure. From a strictly journalistic and media point of view, Matt Pelty, a document like that, in my view, must be carefully researched before you really expose it. I'll tell you why. If any will is written in the jurisdiction in Dominica and no mention is made of a spouse in this jurisdiction, according to the Wills Act of Dominica, very likely that will becomes null and void. Number one. Number two, anybody listening to the letter that you just read really will come to an understanding that there must have been bad blood between the testator and the widow.
Right.
Because a testator, you will agree, Matt, will not write a will that his wife does not know about if there's a great relationship. My wife knows what's on my will.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, as we speak today, I have several people's wills in my possession.
Okay.
I have executed quite a few wills. And that is the first time in life that I've ever heard a will becoming the subject of a radio discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, come with me on this. If anybody listen to this and follow the letter of the law with regard to wills, everybody will know that anybody can will any of their property to anybody they like.
Yeah.
And that will be legit if they only say, for example, in the letter, if you're my son, Ahmad, and I will my property to QFM,
mm-hmm.
all I need to say in the letter is I leave you love and affection. Okay? In the will. And if I say that in the will, guess what? It is a legitimate will. And that is, according to the law, the desire of the testator. Now, if you want somebody to change the desire of the testator, and then you go out trying to bring him down or making a calypso on him or whatever the case is, guess what? Guess what you do? You cause the legalities of the will to take effect. Now, a will becomes a public document. Once the will is registered at the registry, it becomes a public document, so everybody have access to it. What is appalling about the letter, in my view, is a few things. One, the perpetrator or the perceived person who write the letter, in my view, is not the widow. And I'll tell you why it's not the widow.
You think the person was writing on behalf of the widow?
That's right. Mm. And I'll tell you why.
Mm.
Now, some reasons I will hold back for a while, but I'll tell you why. No widow wants to put their business with their husband in the public. None. When that happens, Matt, it means that there has been fights and friction and debar in the relationship. I served as the manager of an insurance company. I have dealt with estate planning, and I have a fair idea of how people deal with estates, Matt. Mm. I've had people walk in who were divorced to a husband, but because that beneficiary was them, didn't have a choice but to get it, although they were divorced, because that is the law. And I heard this gentleman, Brain, speak some, let me tone that language, speak some language that in my view makes absolutely no sense for an educator as far as a will is concerned. A will, if you're discussing a matter, you need first to look at the legal perspective of it, and then you can pander or request or inquire about the ethics of it. But to just come out and talk about this person is bad and this person is this and this person is the other out of conscience is asking what I think is impossibility.
But here's the question that maybe everybody's asking this morning. Why is Pastor Rodney paying so much interest in this matter?
Because Pastor Rodney is a pastor. This letter deals with a pastor. Pastor Rodney has always dealt with pastors in the past. Always dealt with all issues that affect pastors in the past. And I'll give you another reason why I'm paying interest in the matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you see, Pastor Ron is at a place now where he believes that pastors need to rise up and take some people to court,
okay,
for that which they think they can do to pastors and get away.
Okay.
It is time that somebody pay for the things that they believe they can say about pastors. And Pastor Randy has been convinced about that. In fact, I met with my board several years ago in that matter, and I said to them, the next time somebody ever decides to go to deface me or say derogatory things about me anywhere,
mm-hmm.
I will personally take them to court for it. And I believe pastors must stand for that.
Are you, Pastor Rodney, have you been involved in recent times in issues of will?
I just told you, Matt, I have several wills in my possession that I'm in safekeeping. Mm. I've just dealt recently with the question of of a will for a gentleman who died at my church and you know, did everything else. I am also here because of the ministry that I hold and the fact that I am currently in the process of registering a will for my brother that he wrote almost 13 years ago. Okay? And some of the things mentioned in the letter gives certain similarities as far as the personality is concerned. Although everything in the will, apart from the personalities, are patent lies. Matt, I brought you a will this morning because, like my mother says, I want to take in front. That's one. Two, my mother-in-law called me and she says, Randy upa bobot aletui. In other words, people must not just be touching you like this. I brought that will for you to read it. For those in the public, because a will, like I said, is a public document.
Mm.
And that will concerns me. And some of the information you share.
Reference?
Say again?
The letter you think sort of reference.
Some of the information. Mm. Some of the information with regard to the personalities. Hear me?
Uh-huh.
In the letter.
Okay.
Can be similar. The facts shared in the letter are patently false. And I repeat that. The facts shared in the letter are patently false. Let me tell you something. If that letter, Matt, if you ever divulge to me that letter is really about me and I have that letter in my hand,
uh-huh,
you'll be a party to the lawsuit, I can tell you that.
All right. So, right? It means that...
That's one.
I won't be giving him the letter that was written there.
I'm telling you that. You'll be a party to the lawsuit. That's one.
Go ahead.
Number two, if that letter is concerning the will that I gave you, that I'm now preempting,
mm-hmm,
it means that whoever wrote it is a Roman Catholic, because the person speaks about our Catholic priests.
So there are many Roman Catholics out there.
There are many, but it means that person is a Roman Catholic.
Okay.
My brother's...
So you'll be doing your investigation.
Hold on. My brother's wife is not a Roman Catholic by church membership.
All right.
A bingo.
Well, let's read the will because we don't have too much time. We can discuss it a little later, all right? Because it appears that Mr. Randy Rodney will be doing his investigations, all right? This is the will that he brought in this morning. Commonwealth of Dominica, this is the last will and testament of me, Osbert UP of Canefield in the parish of St. Paul in the Commonwealth of Dominica. I thereby revoke all former wills and testamentary dispositions made by me and declare this to be my last will and testament. I nominate and appoint Randy Rodney of 14 Rose Street Goodwill to be the executor and trustee of this my last will and testament. After payment of my just debts, if any, funeral and testamentary expenses, I give, devise, and bequeath as follows. My dwelling house at 8th Street, Canefield. The upstairs to Randy Rodney, absolutely. The downstairs of my said dwelling house to my son, Kadim Dupi, now age 6. However, my said executor and trustee Randy Rodney must hold that part of the property bequeathed to my said son Kadim Dupi until Kadim Dupi reaches the age of 18 years. My said executor must rent and the said property downstairs and invest the proceeds for the benefit of Kadim Dupi and deliver all the proceeds to Kadim Dupi on reaching the age of 18 years. My said executor shall be the trustee of Kadim Dupi. My said executor shall not mortgage or sell, nor take loan on the said property during the time that my said executive holds the property for Kadim Dupi. Should my said executive desire to sell the upstairs, he must give Kadim Dupi the first option to purchase and must sell to Kadim not higher than the market value of the property. Turning to the next page, the final page. My house and land at 12 Fields Lane, Rosa to my wife, Philomene Dupi, for life and after death to my mother, Oh, I think we have to cross that part out. So let's read that line again. My house and land at 12 Fields Lane, Roseau, to my wife, Philomene Dupy. Stock in trade in my business at Old Street, Roseau, to Kadim Dupy. My said executor and trustee must hold the same and invest the same for benefit of Kadim, or sell the same and invest the proceeds for Kadim until Kadim reaches 18 years old. The stock in trade of my business at King George V Street to my wife Philomene, absolutely. My vehicle to Philbert Dupy, absolutely. All my monies in any bank account to Philomene Dupy, I repeat that, all my monies in any bank account to Philomene Dupy, absolutely, except my monies in Barclays Bank Dominica, which is in my name of my son, Kadim Dupy. That said account must be supervised by the executor and must be used for the education and maintenance of Kadim. The balance, if any, is to be given to Kadim when he reaches 18 years old. All the rest, residue and remainder of my property, both real and personal, and wherever situate, I give, devise, and bequeath to Kadim, absolutely. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand as and for my last will and testament, the 6th of March in the year of 2003. That's what I read here. Signed by the said Osbert Dupy, as and for his last will and testament, in the joint presence of us, at the request in his presence, and in the presence of each other, have subscribed our names as witnesses. I see the signature of Mrs. Dyer and somebody called Sabrina Isidore, and the same Mr. Dupy.
Matt Pelty, I'm glad that you read that. Now, two things, and I go. One, Dominicans must be careful of what they do and they say. You will, I'm sure, be informed that, I think it's either CNN or one of them had to apologize on air for their reporting of the case in Ferguson, Missouri, because the facts was incorrect. I believe we need to take our time and don't let emotion get us running. Every widow must remember that anything you say about your spouse, living or dead, reflects on you. Have a nice day, my Pelty.
Have a nice day. Good luck with your investigations, Mr. Rodney. I suspect we'll see you on Friday. We'll talk a little more. And watch what you say, huh? The pastors, I say, are paying close attention.